Mike DeGubin. Hello, friends, and welcome once again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which came down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. This is Bob Griggs, and it's our joy and pleasure to come into your presence again to share with you the wonderful truths of God's Word. We've been discussing in the past few weeks concerning the wordless book, a book that helps us to understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after an individual has received the Lord Jesus, has accepted Christ as their Savior, then the next step is to be obedient to the Lord in baptism. Now, this is what we presently are discussing and considering. We've already talked about the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ and what the scriptural method of baptism is. It's being immersed in the water. This is what's taught in all the different passages. We read different passages that indicate this, and we've talked about the Greek language, the word baptizo, which means to immerse or to dip, and that if sprinkle was meant, it would be the word rantizo in the Greek, or if the word to pour was meant, it would be ekeo. And so we see that immersion is the scriptural method of baptism. The next thing we've been considering is the importance of baptism. We've already discussed how that Jesus walked some 60 miles from Nazareth to the place John was baptizing in the Jordan River. 60 miles. And we see in Matthew 28:19-20, the commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church. And the first thing, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And the thing that we always teach anyone, the first thing is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We present the good news that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he arose from the grave, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men need salvation. All men need forgiveness for their sin. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came to take our sin upon himself, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, that God made Jesus to be sin for us, Jesus who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through his death, burial, and resurrection, and our accepting him as Savior, inviting him to come into our life. And, oh, beloved, the wonderful change that takes place when Jesus Christ moves into a person's life through the person of the Holy Spirit, who comes to indwell us and to make our body the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. So we see how important baptism is. It's an act of obedience to the Lord, because he said, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And the next thing after salvation is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. The terms are synonymous. Now, he says, baptizing them in the name. He doesn't say in the names, plural. And here we see again the picture of the Trinity. It's a singular word, the name of the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this is the means by which we see baptism takes place. One is placed under the water and brought up again in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then following that, he says, teaching them to observe all things. So that first act of obedience after salvation is to follow the Lord in baptism. Now, we might ask, well, who is a qualified candidate? Who is a qualified candidate to be baptized? Well, if you'll go with me to the book of Acts, we'll find out in Acts chapter 8 what the Scripture tells us concerning a qualified candidate. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem far to worship, was returning. He was returning back to Ethiopia. He was sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him in his chariot and explain to him. Verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch said, Who is this speaking about? And so we read verse 34, The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, he knew what they meant by being baptized, because he had been to Jerusalem and had seen those who were saved following the Lord in baptism. And so Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, that's the qualification for baptism. You must believe with all your heart. If thou believest with all thine heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, why did they both go down into the water? Because they had to go down into the water, both of them, in order for Philip to put him under the water and bring him back up again. And so we see that a qualified candidate is one who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as Savior. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 41, we read these words concerning those who had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. They received the word of God. They believed that Jesus was Christ, and they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That is, they were added to the church there in Jerusalem through having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and been obedient through following the Lord in the act of baptism. And so we see a qualified candidate is one who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and has accepted Him as Savior and been obedient to the Lord in baptism. Now, who has the proper authority to baptize? Now, that's a good question. Who has the proper authority to baptize? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 21 and notice verse 25. Matthew 21, 25. The baptism of John, whence was it? Now, these were some people that were questioning Jesus and his authority. And so Jesus said, you answer my question, I'll answer yours. And so he said, the baptism of John, this was John the Baptist, whence was it? From heaven or of men? Now here we see the implication that there is a baptism that's not of God, but is of man. And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And so we see the implication here that there is a baptism of men, and there is the baptism in obedience to the Lord God. So who has the authority? Well, notice verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him, to Jesus, as he was teaching, and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Who gave thee this authority? Well, we find in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, that Jesus has the authority. For there we read again in Matthew 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came unto them, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And thus we see the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has all authority. Now, one time I was driving down the road, and I heard a police whistle. And I looked over to the side of the road, and there was a little boy dressed up like a policeman, and he was playing policeman, and he blew the whistle. Well, I didn't pay any attention to him, because he didn't have authority. But on another occasion, I was driving along, and there was a man dressed in a blue uniform in the middle of the road, and he blew a whistle, and he held out his hand, and I stopped, because he had authority to back up what he was saying. And so authority makes a big difference. Until next time, goodbye.